Hey, what's up? Darren Kidd here. Quick question for you. What if you could create an inbound selling and recruiting machine using social media, be able to 10x your results? And here's the key, without feeling burned out, without feeling stressed out, without having to work 24/7. Well, that's exactly what we're going to get into today and much more on this episode. All right, so today I have a guest with me that I am very excited for you to hear from, because if you don't know John and Nadia Melton, first of all, if they ever get tired of building their network marketing business, they could always do a comedy show. Okay, if you've ever watched them go live together, it is very entertaining. We call it entertainment because you're getting entertained and you're getting trained at the exact same time. But if you don't know who John Melton is and who Nadia, let me give you a quick introduction. Just a few of the things they've accomplished, but once you hear these, I don't think you'll need to hear any more. I know you will not need to hear any more. So not only are they in the top 50 money earners in the entire world in the network marketing profession, that by itself says so much. I mean, when you've got a, you know, 100 million people producing in this $180 billion plus profession, that is a great accomplishment. Over the past 5 years, their organization has done over $200 million in sales and over 600,000 new customers in the last 5 years. And just last month, we were talking before we started the podcast, and you know, last month their team did $7.6 million in sales. They brought on, you know, over 981 distributors and over 29,000 customers in just 1 month. Okay, so if that sounds good to you, you definitely want to make sure that you're taking notes. This is one of the shows that you're going to want to go back and continue to listen to or watch over and over and over again. And by the way, if you have not had a chance to review the podcast, please go to Apple. That would mean the world to me, because that makes a big difference in the algorithm, helping us, you know, reach a lot of people and making a big impact. So John, I know your schedule is, you're extremely busy, but we appreciate you joining us, and welcome.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here, and always willing to find time for you, Darren. I appreciate everything you're doing for the profession.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get right into it, man, because I know we're going to drop a lot of gold today, a lot of nuggets, right? So it's just a matter of where you are in your business and what you can apply right now. And some of these things you're going to be able to apply at some point during your business. And so let's get right into it. So John, would you say the key to your success is, you know, home parties, sitting down with people one-on-one and three-way calls?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talk about that all the time, right? The old school stuff. And I'm glad I did it, but thank God I don't have to do that stuff anymore to build my business. I think we started paying attention to social media and learning attraction marketing and how to brand ourselves, which we didn't know what any of that meant, by the way. Back in like 2012, I started seeing all these like online marketers and video vloggers and blogs and YouTube channels. And I'm like, man, I got to figure this stuff out, because I was so sick and tired of doing that stuff, right? The one-on-ones, the home meetings, the three-way calls, the weekly meetings, having to drive all over God's green earth to do these presentations and pitching people on an opportunity to make money from home. But I was never home. So I wanted to figure out a way to build my business literally from home. And the way we figured out how to do that and crack the code was leveraging social media to build our business online and really not only create more results, but like you said, do it in a way that wasn't so stressful, wasn't so time consuming, and burn ourselves and our leaders out.
Absolutely. Yeah. The days of stalking people at gas stations, or, you know, walking around the mall, seeing who you can find something in common or find a way to compliment someone, you know, those days are over. Things have changed. And so with social media, you know, first of all, I mean, it's pretty amazing that we can take and build a global business. You know, you and Nadia have in your organization have built a global business that's done several hundred million dollars in revenue, all from your smartphone. You know, and I know that I see you're busy. I mean, you and Nadia, you have two kids. I mean, I always see you're at a baseball game. You know, how do you, you know, bring that into your everyday life? You know, when you're so busy with the family and you're building a business and you have a massive team.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, you hear this all the time, even with offline marketing, we would always say, you got to have a system, you got to have a system. And why do you need a system? Well, systems System, first of all, stands for save yourself time, energy, and money, right? But the truth is we want to have systems in place so that we can create independence. So we have people on our team that are out there acquiring customers, building a customer base, promoting on social media, generating leads, generating sales, and even building a team and onboarding new people, you know, using scripts, using the Boards app, using Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So we started creating tools and resources and systems so that people knew exactly what to do every day, even giving them posts to put up on their pages every day, put up in their Instagram stories and, you know, Facebook. And I just think it took time, obviously, just like anything else. But I just think the things we do today are so much more duplicatable, hence why we're seeing the results that we're having today. Like, I don't have to be so involved like I used to have to be involved back in the heyday of the three-way calls and the home meetings.
Yeah, I mean, that makes so much sense. I mean, because we, you know, back in the day, we would say, hey, look, you know, do you want to have time freedom? Do you want to be with your family? But yet, we had none of those things because, like you said, we were constantly chasing down someone, hoping people would show up, you know, and then, you know, they didn't want to do what you just did to share the information with them because a lot of times it wasn't duplicatable or it wasn't something they could fit into the cracks and crevices of their day. And so for me, and I know you probably felt the same way, I had that guilty feeling when I was working that I was not with my family. When I was with my family, I always felt guilty that I wasn't working. And then having an organization that at one point was dependent on me, not system dependent. So I love that systems, saving yourself time, energy, and money. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So that's so good. And so with everyone watching, and let me just say this, when you watch John and Nadia go live and you hear them joke around and they're so comfortable on camera, you know, that can be intimidating. And a lot of times, because I know, you know, John, years ago when I first started, you know, network marketing, I was terrified to speak in front of five people that I knew. And so when social media came out, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to get on video and I don't even know what to say. So what would you say for those that are like, oh, you know what, but I don't know where to start, or, you know, things are not really, it's not that effective when I use social media. What would you say for those people that are really looking to step up their game? Like, where would they start and where would they go to really start implementing those things to grow their business without having the stress and the burnout?
Well, first of all, you have to get out of your own way. And so many of us, right, we self-sabotage, we have these limiting beliefs, we have imposter syndrome, perfectionitis, compare-itis, we're comparing ourselves to other people that have just simply been doing it longer than us, that they may not have more talent, they may not have more experience, it's just they decided to get over themselves. And I think that shyness, that fear of what other people think, other people's opinions don't pay your bills. So you got to get over yourself. And it's not about you. It's about who you can help, who you can serve. Like when I go live, when we do TikToks, we do reels, when we're, you know, showing up on social media, we're thinking, who can I help? Who can I serve? Because entrepreneurs solve problems for profits. And by the way, the bigger the problem, the bigger the paycheck, right? So it's like, okay, how can I serve more people? Instead of belly to belly, knee to knee, eye to eye, I want to be belly to many, right? I want to get in front of as many people as possible. I want to make a big impact. But I also had a fear of public speaking, a deep, deep fear of public speaking in the early years. Now that was 20 plus years ago. But even still today, when I have to go on stage, I get cotton mouth. I'm nervous. My heart is racing. Why? Because I want to do a good job. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do a good job. There's nothing wrong with wanting to perform or show up and do a good job. But at the same time, I think the thing that we're more afraid of is being embarrassed. We're afraid to start small. And you just have to get over that fear, because the truth is there's someone out there on their knees every night praying for a miracle. And you have that miracle in your mouth. You just got to open your mouth and start talking to people, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's in Instagram stories, Facebook Live, like you have to show up. Now, I will say this. I do have people on my team. They don't do a lot of videos, but they're very good at like posting about the products in a way that creates curiosity. They're a good storyteller. They tell other people's stories. They talk about the benefits of their products or the benefits of their opportunity or the benefit of using their product. Like that's like some next level marketing, right? But I think ultimately still today, there's nothing more powerful than you showing up, using your voice to deliver a message, people seeing your face, right? Even if you feel like, you know, I don't have anything valuable to share, or my life is boring, or I'm not a leader, I'm not an expert. Like, there's people out there that need to hear from you. Like, I can't deliver a message to every human. Darren can't reach every person. Like, all of us have our own unique purpose, our own unique personality, and our own unique way we can show up on social media. So I just think it's like anything else, right? It's just like getting started in network marketing. You have to overcome your limiting beliefs and your fears if you're truly wanting to make an impact and you're wanting to create success. And I think the challenge with a lot of people when they first get started, it's all about them. They join the business because they have a need, because they want to make money. But the truth is, the longer you do this, and I know it takes time to get to this point, especially if you're new-ish in this profession, because you're just looking at your team, your business, your results, or your lack thereof. But it really is about other people. And the sooner you can get over yourself and say, you know what? I just want to have a genuine interest in people. I want them to get value from my content. I want them to get value from my products. I want them to get involved, not so that I make a fast start bonus or so that I can make money, but so they can truly get the results that they're looking for, which is why they bought the products or joined the team in the first place. So when you make it about other people and you make it about service and support and you're genuinely trying to help people and you show up in a way that's authentic to you, I think you'll start to see not only better results, but you'll start to see that fear goes away. And it does take time. Like, it took me time to get over my fear of public speaking. It didn't happen overnight. And the only, like, people are like, what book did you read? What did you, you know, what made you get over it? It was like, honestly, it was just doing it. It was like putting myself out there and getting more and more comfortable, because the first few times I would speak in front of people, now this is again, back in the offline days, but I would black out. Like, I would literally be like, and Darren, I bet this happened to you too, right? When you're done, you sat back down, you're like, what did I just say? I can't remember what I said. I totally blacked out. But again, doing it repetitively, eventually I got to the point where I just stopped caring so much about the negative Nancys and maybe a couple people that didn't like what I had to share. And I started focusing my energy, just like online, right? There's going to be some haters and some people that come across your stuff that say nasty things, but it's not about them. Those aren't our people, right? That's why I like attraction marketing. It's like a magnet. We're going to attract people, but simultaneously repel the ones that aren't meant for us anyway.
Oh my gosh. Like, that was an entire masterclass. We could drop the mic. We could stop the show right now. I'm having such a hard time trying to stay in my little box here with the mic in front of me. So much great stuff. You know, you're exactly right. You know, we attract what we are and repel what we're not. And I know that you and I both, I mean, everyone that's watching or listening right now, there are people that we watch them or hear them and go, I don't get it. They're so annoying, or that is definitely not my style. And why would anybody ever listen to them? And we're listening to them just because we're fascinated, but they have a massive following because they've attracted a lot of people that like their style. They like their content. So, you know, not everyone is for everyone, but that is so true. And so it's really important when you said, look, you know, don't worry about being perfect. Done is better than perfect. I forget who said that. It wasn't me that came up with that, but you're going to do it messy in the beginning. Maybe it was Amy Porterfield, who's a big online marketer. And so you're going to be messy. You're going to mess up, but you've got to go out there and take action, because if you wait till you feel like you're ready, that's never going to happen. None of us have ever felt ready to go out there and do the things, but Emerson said, do the thing, then you'll have the power. He didn't say sit there and, you know, chant and go, hey, you know, and wait for the power to come to you. So I love the fact that you're going, look, you just got to take action. You've got to start today and then work on getting a little bit better every single day. The other thing that you talked about was real quick before I go into limiting beliefs. Am I breaking up some, John?
I think you're good. I was looking at the camera dots. So I wasn't paying.
Okay. Okay. All right. It was breaking up for a second.
But the voice.
Okay. Good. Good. Perfect. Okay, so the next thing you talked about was limiting beliefs. And John, one of the biggest aha moments for me, and I don't know if anybody else has had this, or maybe this is an aha moment for you. Every time I have gone to a different level in my life, it is because I finally believed that I could. So the enemy was actually the inner me. It was that lid in my own head where you talk about the self-sabotage, the imposter syndrome. I was talking to Kim Garst, who was just at a mastermind. You know, she's one of the top social media, you know, in Forbes. And she's like, Darren, there are people there with eight-figure businesses going, we still have the imposter syndrome. We still feel like, man, are we really worthy of doing these things? And so I think it's so important to be authentic, be real. And John, I know we have seen this. I know I've seen it many times where we're worried about being perfect and so polished, and people are sick of fake. They want somebody that shows up and they're real. So they get on there and they go, hey, listen, if they are doing a video, they go, I'm so nervous, my knees are shaking, but you just can't see them. And I'm about ready to pass out. So if I do, just say a prayer for me. And when I wake back up, you know, I'll finish up. And they get so much love and encouragement. So I think that's so important. So with busting through those limiting beliefs, feeling like we're not, you know, ready to go out there and start doing these things, you know, worried about people's opinion. You mentioned that. I couldn't take notes fast enough, but that's so true. You can't pay your bills with a hug. And John, you probably had the same thing that I had. You know, when I was broke, bankrupt, everybody in my town talked about, oh man, he's failed at everything. He can't feed his family. He's applying for food stamps. You know, he's depressed. He can't keep a job. They talked about me when I was broke, and I'm sure they did the same thing with you. When I started making a lot of money, like you said, haters came out of the woodwork. Oh, well, he, you know, and it was all kinds of crazy stuff, you know? And what I found is the only way we don't have people talk about us is you don't have anything, do anything, or be anything. Live a life of insignificance. You know, dogs do not bark at a parked car. So much great information within those several minutes. And I'm going to go back and listen again myself and take notes because that was phenomenal. So for those that are looking to, you know, implement systems and develop leaders, how do you use social media? Because I know that you use it because you're consistently, I think I heard you on a live that you did recently saying, look, you consistently, you know, bring in over 20 distributors every month still, correct?
Well, not every month. That was actually my second best month since I joined. So I've been in the industry, you know, almost 21 years, right? 20 plus. And I've been with the same company for 6.5 years. And yes, we enrolled 20 people in 1 month, which, you know, the truth is I don't need to enroll anybody, right? Our business is cranking. But at the end of the day, if people are coming to me and they're requesting information, you know, you build your brand long enough, you build those relationships long enough, you create results and you network with the right people, you get into the right, you know, groups, communities, whatever you want to call it. It happens organically and there's nothing more exciting. I mean, listen, you have to prospect, you have to reach out to people proactively, but there's nothing more exciting than when you get to the point where you don't have to prospect because people are in your inbox. They're requesting information. And, you know, we can talk a little bit about that. There's some different ways to do it if you want. But at the end of the day, when people come to you, your close ratio increases significantly because they're coming to you. They're requesting information. So obviously that's a better lead than someone you're having to reach out to and ask them if they're open. Now, again, you got to do what you got to do in the early days, right? The early years. But eventually you get to that point where you have people coming to you. So that's why I always tell people, embrace the suck. You're going to suck in the beginning at marketing, at content creation. But when you get to that point where you have people, you have so many people in your inbox that you don't have to prospect, that is the best
feeling. I like
that.
Embrace the suck. And that was my attitude. Look, if I'm going to suck, I want to go ahead and suck fast. I want to fail forward extremely fast. If I'm going to be bad before I'm good, let's just get it out of the way, right? You know, it's much more painful to drag it out and be bad or over a longer period of time. So as long as you're
right, why drag out the you know, the crappy, you know, lack of results like that? That's you hit the nail on the head though. That's the problem with a lot of people. It's like they're like you know, you ever put popcorn in the microwave, right? You gotta leave it in there. You can't mess with it, and it starts popping off, right? But a lot of us are like the person puts a bag of popcorn in the microwave, and we just keep opening it every like 10 seconds, like. What's happening, right? Like, why isn't the popcorn popping? And it's like, dude, you're never going to pop off if you keep starting, stopping. You keep analyzing, you know, what's going on. It's like, you know, I had some, this is just a brand new person I just enrolled. And they're like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I had 39 people on my curiosity post requesting information and I only got 2 of them to sign up. I'm like, first of all, that's insane. You had 39 people raise their hand and say, what is it? I want more information. That is phenomenal. Number one. Number two, you've been in for 3 days. Like, how many people do you expect to buy that quickly? I think it's amazing you already had two people buy. You just did the post 3 days ago. So that's the mentality of a lot of people, right? Is they are looking for, it's that microwave society mentality, right? They're looking for quick results. But the truth is, anything worth doing takes time.
Yes, like John Maxwell says, in a leader's life, there's never two downhill days in a row. There's never two easy days in a row. And I think we've gotten spoiled, like back in the day, and I feel like we're going to talk about our trapper keeper notebooks and walking to school backwards, 5 miles, barefoot, all that stuff. But, you know, here's what's interesting is back in the day to get 39 exposures, you would have to go out for several weeks and meet people that you didn't know and pay a lot of money per minute on long distance. And now to be able to put up one post, attract qualified prospects to you that raise their hand to say, I'm open. And so let's talk about the difference in attraction marketing, attracting people to you, and prospecting, reaching out. And how do you use both of those to create that inbound selling and recruiting machine where you have people consistently, qualified prospects reaching out to you?
I'll try to go as quickly as possible because there's a lot we could uncover, but I know we only have so much time and I want to give you the bird's eye view. So you got warm market, cold market, right? You got marketing, you got prospecting. And the neat thing today is because of short form videos, and there's other methods also, but mostly because of short form videos, you can get in front of a cold audience. So of course, when I bring on a new person, we're giving them strategies to proactively reach out to people that they're already connected with, right? I'm not telling people to go like prospect cold market. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not saying it's not worth doing. If somebody's doing it and it's working, good for them. But I would rather teach people how to reach out to people they're already connected with, right? The warm market. And I'd rather teach people how to create curiosity and launch their business to their warm market getting started. But with that being said, we're teaching them how to create curiosity around the products. We're teaching them how to create curiosity around the business, but not say the name of the company. So they're not really getting into the, you know, quote, attraction marketing because they're just getting started and we want them to focus on making money. We want to help them get results, rank advance, right? Build up their belief and their confidence. And here's a paradigm shift that we figured out about 6 years ago. It's easier to teach a new person how to go get customers when they're brand new and focus on selling the products. And then when someone expresses interest in the product, it's easy to say, hey, would you also like to take a look at how we earn income from our phones? It's easier for someone, and even I have, again, years of experience, I have had a lot of results leading with product. People are like, what's that liquid collagen that you offer? What's that belly blaster? I want to lose some weight in my belly, right? What's this product? Tell me more. I want more information. And saying, I can add you to a group that will give you more information about the products, but would you also like me to add you to our group to learn how we make money online promoting these products? It's so freaking simple. So the point is, that's how people are starting off, but let's keep it real. After a period of time, 3 months, 6 months, most people, even if they're still creating curiosity, at some point they need to mix it up. If they're still selling, promoting, selling, promoting, selling, promoting, they're probably not selling or promoting in their compensation plan. They're not rank advancing. So when you see people, they're 3 months in, 6 months in, and at that point, they've probably got a lot of like the low-hanging fruit, right? So now they need to mix things up. And I think it's really important for people to learn how to market on social media. And when I say market, meaning, you know, provide value, entertainment, like you talked about. I always like the three E's, okay? You got entertaining content, you got educational content, and you got empowering content, but also don't forget the R, and that's relatable content, right? People are like, what's my niche? Who's my avatar? Who am I trying to attract? Oh, I want to attract everybody. Now, here's who you want to talk to, especially when you're new. Talk to people like you. Like the easiest people for me to prospect and work with are people that I relate to, especially when I was newer in the profession, people my age, people that, you know, had waited tables. I used to be a waiter. And then years later, when I became a mortgage banker, it was easy for me to recruit other mortgage and real estate people. And then years into network marketing, guess who's attracted to me now? People with years of experience in network marketing. The point I'm making is you do need to, at some point, start putting yourself out there and attracting people like you and provide valuable content. In fact, write this down. 80% of the time, your content should have nothing to do with your products or your company, your opportunity. 20% of the time you can create curiosity. So that's the difference in attraction marketing and curiosity marketing, right? One of them is creating curiosity around your products and opportunity. Attraction marketing is attracting people to you. And if people like you, they relate to you, they trust you, they will be more likely to buy from you or partner up with you when you start creating curiosity. Now, let me get back to the short form videos. You've got TikTok, you've got Instagram and Facebook Reels. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I hope it's a really long time because it's been glorious. Over the last couple of years, since we started doing TikTok and then eventually Instagram Reels and then finally Facebook Reels, we started generating so many leads. Like I have at this point, thousands and thousands and thousands of followers from all those platforms because of short form videos. And so do a lot of my people. In fact, a lot of my top sellers, and when I say top sellers, they personally sell 20,000 plus a month, personally selling 50,000 plus a month. Some of them even get close or over 100,000 in a month in personal sales. It's because of TikTok. It's because of Reels. It's because of short form videos. And what are those leads? Who are those people buying? Cold market. People that don't know you buying your stuff. People that don't know you requesting information. People reaching out to you wanting to partner or wanting to make money from home. There's nothing more exciting than when you learn how to generate leads. And when I say generate leads, I mean people reaching out to you saying, I want more information on your company or your product. And then your goal, your job, as you develop the skills, is to communicate with those leads, have conversations, pre-qualify these leads, because we're not here to convince anybody. I'm not here to convince you to buy my product or join my team. I'm very upfront with cold market. But the point is, my goal is to pre-screen those leads and find out the ones that are serious, they're open, they're positive. That's who I want to work with. That's who I want to even share my products with. I add them into a group. I ATM. I add tag message. I add them into a group that gives them more information. So I'm not explaining my products and opportunity. I'm not explaining the comp plan and getting started. I'll give them a synopsis. I'll tell a little bit about my story, but my goal is to get them into the group, tag them in a video, tag them in a testimonial. And then everything for the most part is done on Facebook Messenger or in the DMs of Instagram. So this is a strategy that we came up with years ago because we wanted to simplify the exposure process. But as great as I love the ATM system, you still have to have conversations. Write this down. As a network marketer, you are a professional conversation starter. So you can start conversations through your marketing, getting people to come to you, or through proactively prospecting warm or cold market. Bottom line is you need to create more conversations and not be afraid to talk about your products or opportunity. And by the way, even if you are afraid, just do it anyway. Successful people just do the thing they're afraid of anyway because they know that their goal and their dream is bigger than their fear.
Again, so many great, great nuggets all within just a few minutes. And I hope all of you are definitely taking notes. And this is definitely going to be, I know a podcast that's going to be watched and listened to over and over and over again. Because again, as you're growing in the business, you may be, you know, at one point, but then several months later, something else here means a little something differently to you. And one of the things that you said, John, is that you reach out to warm market when you get started. And to me, when someone goes, hey, look, you know, I don't want to reach out to anyone that I know, I'm like, why are you doing what you're doing? If you don't believe in what you're doing, like you should have passion behind what you're doing. Do you believe in your products, your services? You know, do you believe in the business model that you're a part of? And if you don't, it's going to show. And business will grow so much faster when you're sharing. Yeah. And it's not like you're convincing, right? You're sharing. But I love how you almost expose, involve, and upgrade. Like you're getting them exposed, you're getting them involved in the basics. Hey, let's get you some wins quickly. Let's help build that confidence, you know, because the quicker you get them a little win, that's how you build confidence. And then as you continue to help them stair step, then you're learning short form, you know, content and you're able to multi-purpose. So maybe you did a TikTok video and you uploaded that to a reel and you uploaded that to Facebook Reels and then you uploaded that to a YouTube short. And the next thing you know, there's dozens or hundreds or thousands of people that have, you know, viewed your content. And I was speaking at a mastermind recently you know, Rob Sperry's mastermind. And there was a group of us that were sitting out by a fire one night, and they were sharing their backgrounds and they were sharing their stories. And a lot of them had never had, you know, they had never been in network marketing up until the company they're in right now. They never had experience with social media. Wow. And some of them were shy. They were like, hey, look, you know, I'm really a shy person. I don't like doing video, but they did it anyway. They felt the fear and they did it anyway. And they were showing me their videos, John, and multiple around the fire in that one little group had, they had gone viral. They had millions of views on videos that were so simple, but they were fun. They were about their family. They were about being a mom. And so I love the fact that, you know, you feel the fear, you do it anyway. You're going to get a little bit better over time. And then another thing that you said, if you could just maybe talk about just for a second, you said 80% of the content you create should not be about your company or your product.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately it boils down to trust. And it's hard to trust someone that's always selling. Now, it is interesting because I've got people that leverage TikTok and Reels, and some of their most viral videos are the videos where they're promoting their products. But they do it in a fun way, or they're telling their story. You know, they hop on some of the hot trends. But still, people need to know that you are a legit person, that you care about them, that, you know, you're someone of value. And what does that mean? It means, you know, you're someone that inspires them or encourages them or gives them great ideas and tips, or you're the type of person that will help them if they do become a customer. And they need to know, like, who you are, what's your personality. And if you just think about the people you follow, think about all the people you follow. Think about Darren. Is he constantly selling you something? No. If he was selling you 80% of the time, 90% of the time, 100% of the time, you wouldn't follow him. He'd be like a damn infomercial. Nobody wants to follow someone always selling and pitching. Even Grant Cardone, who probably is one of the more aggressive, you know, online influencers selling all the time. Still, most of his content is valuable, right? It's quotes, it's tips, it's storytelling, it's overcoming common myths. And it's just, he is leading with value. All the best marketers that I know, Jordan Levesque's on my team, you know, she went from 700 followers on TikTok to 1.1 million in 10 months. And you know what? Most of her TikTok videos are not her selling and promoting her products, right? So the people that have the most success on my team, people that I know that are building the biggest businesses, Brin Lang, Marina Simone, Amber Duluth, like those are some of the people on my team, respectfully, that are building significant teams. They're making significant income. Most of their content is not selling and promoting
their products. And the good thing is you can take and follow all these people, watch what they're doing, and then tailor it toward what you're doing and put your own little twist on it. And then people go, man, well, it's hard to learn how to do some of these things. Well, when I worked a job, it was hard. When someone else dictated what I was worth, it was hard. When someone told me when you could go on vacation, if you could go on vacation, that was hard. You know, how many days a year I could be sick. That was amazing. They could predict that. That was hard. It's just pick your hard. But my job never had the ability to create the lifestyle that I wanted for my family. So thinking that you can, I mean, that's where you got to change our perspective. When you can take your phone and sit in the car waiting to get your kids from school in the pickup line, and you do a little short, you know, form video, and 50 people see it. That would be like back in the day, you had to rent a hotel room, invite several hundred people to get 200 to commit to show up, to have 50 actually show up. And then you do a presentation and then break down the room. So technology has definitely helped us speed things up in a massive way.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head though, choosing your heart. I just like think that is so important. Like when I was a busser, when I was a waiter, it was hard. It sucked. I hated it so much, right? And I wasn't making any money. So it's so interesting. People are like, oh, that's really hard. Like compared to what? Like to me, being broke is hard. Having more month than money is hard. Doing something you hate just because you have to survive is hard. Living a life of mediocrity and having to tell my kids no, and telling, you know, actually, it's funny. I haven't had to tell them no in so many years. I forgot what it was like. Now I say no because of other reasons because I don't want them to be spoiled. And, you know, kids will always try to take advantage of parents. But the point is, you know, having the ability to wake up when you're done sleeping, pick and choose who you spend time with, right? Being able to put your phone down at any time and go out to dinner, date night, you know, travel with my wife all over the world, being able to work with people that have appreciation for you, being able to, you know, drive whatever car or invest in whatever investment or donate to whatever charity. I mean, just last month, we donated $21,000 because we did a promo. Now, we donate money often anyway, but we did a promo for every new customer our team brought on. For every new customer, we donate $1. Our team, the month before the 29,000, month before brought on 21,000 new customers. We donated $29,000. So being able to choose, you know, who, what, when, where, how, and all, you know, life decisions, that's what it's all about. And like you said, this type of vehicle, if you find the right vehicle, you find the right company, the right product you believe in, if you truly believe in it, sky's the limit. Like, are there people in your company making millions of dollars? Are there people in your company that are having massive success? Then you can too, because they got started just like you. They were the only one on their team. They were a team of one. Fingers crossed, prayers up, hoping this was legit, and they got to work. So it's going to be hard, but it's not about, is it hard? It's about, is it worth it? And the answer to me is obviously, yes, 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 yes. It is 100% worth it. And I don't know a profession where you can make the kind of money we can make, make residual income, have the opportunity to create unlimited income, have the freedom of choice, create the lifestyle, helping people, but on the flip side, not have the risks and responsibilities and overhead and stress of traditional business. Mm.
That is so true, because I had a franchise, and what we had to do, I mean, it was a yogurt franchise, and one of them, just one, was $400,000, not to mention the lease and the employees and all of that. I mean, to think, and you're talking about stress, when you look at a $4 cup of yogurt, like, how many of these do we have to sell just to be able to get our money back? Like, it was crazy, you know, what we had to do and the commitment. But so as we come to a close, I want to ask you a couple things. I mean, first of all, the challenges and the struggles, I would encourage every single one of you to look at them from a little different perspective, because I know Think and Grow Rich, I heard Tony Robbins talking about it, you know, recently, and I heard Ed Milet talking about it today. I was watching or listening to one of his podcasts. When you go through the challenges, if you have the right perspective, it introduces you to a newer, better version of yourself. And obstacles mm-hmm. lead to elevation if we have the right perspective. You know, there is no elevation without the obstacles. And looking back, John, I'm sure you'll probably agree that the challenging times in life, where we look back and we're very grateful for them now, even though we weren't grateful for them maybe at the time, because we didn't know, hey, look, it's going to introduce me to a new, better version of myself. So what do you have to say about challenges and obstacles? And, you know, how did you look at those and or continue to look at those? Did anything change along the way that helped you elevate to a different level? Because you're like, hey, you know what? I just need to embrace the struggle, you know, enjoy the journey and the process. And anything to say about that? Because I know we have people that are struggling, and they're different people. This is a leadership podcast. So there may be people struggling.
Yeah.
And I know you know what it's like, struggling at zero. And then there are people struggling at 10,000 a month and they're stuck. And other people are like, hey, I would like to be struggling and stuck at 10,000 a month. So no matter where you are, what have you and Nadia used to really to get unstuck and really break through to that next level when it comes to challenges and obstacles?
Well, first of all, this podcast is amazing. I think this is going to be so great for leaders. I would recommend all of you share, you know, what Darren is sharing with you, with your team, with your leaders, because he's doing this for free value to help all of you. And I think it's just so powerful, because there's not enough leadership conversations happening. And, you know, this is part of the problem in our profession. This is why it has a bad reputation, because there's a lot of amateur leaders out there. You know, they're a leader by title, by pin, by rank, by volume, but they're not really a leader. Like, they have a bad attitude. They have scarcity mentality. They are treating the people on their team like they're less than them or they work for them. And it's just, there's a lot of amateur leaders out there. And I was one of them, believe me. I mean, I had a lot of tendencies that, you know, and insecurities that I needed to iron out over the years. And actually, because I had a lot of bad upline experiences, you know, I did not have the best upline experience in previous companies with some crazy uplines that, like, I don't want to get into details and even some crazies in my downline. Like, I learned what not to do. I learned how not to treat people and how I didn't want to treat my people. And I wanted to always lead with integrity, good intention. I wanted to always be a great communicator and be empathetic and listen to people and, you know, be the kind of leader I wish I had. Number one. Number two, you know, Tony Robbins, you were mentioning Tony Robbins. He says the only problem with people is they don't think they should have problems, right? That's the problem with people. They don't think they should have any problems. They don't think they should have any. It's hilarious, right? Like, if, and I said this earlier, if you have problems and you're able to solve those problems, that's where the profits come from. That's how we sell our products, right? If you're selling weight loss, well, are you really selling weight loss? No, you're selling them on the result that the product can give them because they have a pain point, a problem, and your product can solve that problem, right? So the bigger the problems, the bigger the paychecks. And when it comes to creating leaders and identifying people that you can really help elevate and pour into, like, that's really what this is all about. And part of the problem with a business like this is, you know, there's lessons that need to be learned. So when you're stuck somewhere, as people will say, well, I'm stuck at this, I'm stuck at that. And we all get stuck somewhere, right? Whether it's 100 grand a month, 10 grand a month, or 1,000 a month, we all get stuck somewhere. But it's like, what am I supposed to learn? Because you're either growing or dying. And the truth is, because we never really maintain, right? Having that maintaining mentality is not a good place to be. That's scarcity, right? Trying to, like, you know, just manage your current team and just hold on to everybody with dear life, because God forbid if one of them quit. I'll tell you this, I've had some big leaders that I've either had, you know, in the company I'm in now or even in previous companies. And a lot of times when I had a big leader leave, my business actually grew, which is crazy because you thought the opposite was going to happen. Like, oh my gosh, if they quit, it's all going to collapse. And the latter was true. It ended up growing and having more duplication, more people stepping up because maybe that leader was toxic or, you know, that leader was kind of, you know, putting out such a big shadow that people didn't have the opportunity to step up. So I think the sooner you identify and encourage people with potential, the better. And if you're stuck somewhere, it's because you're doing too much and you're trying to micromanage everything and you're not out there doing what you did in the beginning, which is starting and launching new teams. Now, people are like, what does that mean, starting and launching a new team? When I recruit a new person, when I partner up with that new person, I'm not just partnering up with this new person and getting a fast start bonus. I'm partnering up with a new person to start a new team, to start a new customer base, to go out and help this person do what I've done, right? Getting to a rank is awesome, but helping other people get to those ranks, now that's what we're talking about. That's how you create independent leaders on your team. So if you're stuck, it's like, what are you supposed to learn? What lessons are supposed to be learned? And, you know, the things that I struggled with in the early days, I mean, at the time, I didn't see it. I didn't realize that those things I was struggling with down here were going to help me when I got up here. Does that make sense? So it's so important to understand that there's lessons to be learned. Keep the perspective of gratitude and appreciation for what you do have. I see way too many people. They're like, oh, I'm only making this, or I'm stuck at this. And it's like, dude, there's people out there that would give their right arm to have the business you have. The business you're complaining about, you one day wished you would have that business. Like, one day, like back in the day when you first got started, you could never imagine making 10 grand a month. And now you're frustrated because you're stuck at 10 grand a month. I have so many people on my team that wish they could be at 10 grand a month. And we all have people like that, right? So I think that fresh perspective is so important. And just know that new levels, new devils, you're going to have problems. It's not that you're looking to have less problems. It's that you're looking to develop new skills and new experiences so that when that problem happens again, because it will, any of the problems you're dealing with now, they're going to come up again. You're going to know how to deal with it more effectively and more efficiently. I just want to wrap up with this too. My last company got shut down by the FTC. At the time, I wasn't like, hooray. But looking back, it was a blessing in disguise. And I think this is a great quote. I heard this one time at a conference. The guy said, sometimes our greatest disappointments are God's greatest appointments. And that company getting shut down was not only a good thing because I ended up finding my home, the company I'm with today. So it was a blessing in disguise. And by the way, I had a 7,000 person team. I was making multiple six figures. It wasn't some chump change business. It was a big, big business. And I built it for 2 years. And anyway, there's more to that story, but that company got shut down. And when it did, of course, the first day I was like devastated. But then within about 24 to 48 hours, because of my experience in the profession, I go, this is meant to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to learn here. I don't know what's going to happen next. But that chapter was meant to be closed and a new chapter is upon us. And I can't figure out for sure, but I'm going to faith it till I make it. I'm going to faith it till I figure it out, right? Have some blind faith yet in this early days. But it was the best thing that could have happened. And it wasn't just that that thing happened and that I had to start a new thing. It was that I learned that the whole recruiting recruiters to recruit recruiters and it being all about the opportunity, like the product is the opportunity, right? That opportunity driven mentality of just like leading with making money. Who do you know that wants to make money? That mindset, I had to have a paradigm shift that there's a better way to build a business. Not only is it better from a legal standpoint, like I want to have an FTC safe business. Like I don't want to ever have to deal with that again, where the FTC says, hey, you guys don't have customers, right? Now my business is 85% customer volume. That is an insane stat. But the point is, we actually learned that it was better to duplicate customer acquisition and help more people have success. Because look, if they're making money promoting the products before they have a team, build up their confidence and belief, and then organically, they start building that team. Now, when they get up here, they know how to help that new person get started because they were at one point making money just promoting products. They weren't really a team builder, but they stuck around long enough while they were making money promoting the products to learn the skills and develop the confidence to become a leader. And it happened more organically. And here's the best part, Darren, and I'll just leave you with this. The retention is so much better. Not just customer retention, but the leaders that we have, most of the leaders we have, we've worked with for years. Now, of course, we always have new leaders coming on board as well with experience, but there's a lot of leaders within my organization that they did not have a fast start. They didn't make a lot of money fast, right? But they never felt unappreciated or that they couldn't contribute or that they were less than because they weren't a fast builder. They weren't a big time recruiter. You know, they just stayed in long enough. And maybe it took 3 years, maybe it took 4 years, maybe it took 5 years, but they finally became, you know, elite leaders making a significant income. And even though they didn't have a fast start, like those people will never quit. Like they have the most appreciation. They have one of the best, like solid teams. They built that foundation. And now they have a business that's very consistent. It grows every month, every year, you know, that sort of thing. And I just think that's really what it's all about because it doesn't matter how much money you make in the short term. It matters what you do long term. And that's why we're in this long-term residual income. And where does that stem from? Retention. If your leaders are not leaders yet, they will become leaders, but help them make money today so they can build something for tomorrow.